All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Hopefully, you've been able to pray in the spirit and get in the spirit for a little bit before we get started this morning, because we're actually going to talk about that this morning when we get into it. I was trying to get you guys the audio of what I was trying to tell you about the 2025, but I could not get it to work with this software that I have, but I downloaded this other software. So if y'all will give me grace, I will have it for you tomorrow. Now tonight, I would like to invite all of you guys to be with us for the Bible College's final exam, the second class. They are giving their testimony, which is their final exam, and I would love for you guys to be there to support them and pray for them. And you know, some people is really challenged when it comes to talking about their self, because you know, maybe they've been beat down, you know, by other people who's tried to hurt their self-worth. And they don't fully yet have the, you know, the revelation of, you know, the Lord fulfilling that void that the enemy tried to do in their lives growing up. And it just takes time. So if you guys would, you know, come aboard and you know, in the chat, you know, just say, you can do this. This is so exciting. You know, I celebrate what God is doing in your life, and you know, really encourage these people because they're already going out of the way to, you know, delve into God's word and to partner with other people, you know, that want to go back to school and want to, you know, increase their understanding of what God is doing in this hour type of deal. So that's tonight at 7 o'clock. I'd like to invite all of you guys to that. And then I just found out this morning that President Trump is doing his speech to Congress, and it is something like that. I will be with you guys. That's, you know, I can't leave you here in the end on these epic moments. So I'm gonna be with you. We're gonna watch it tonight after we get finished with the Bible College. We will go live again separately, and we will watch the president, see what he's got to say. I'll give my analysis, of course. And then through the 6 weeks while we're studying the tabernacle, I will be doing Bible studies on Mondays and Thursdays. Okay, this is official Bible College material. That is working alongside, you know, what they're learning about the tabernacle, because there's a lot of people that actually want to learn and have been wanting to be a part of the tabernacle, but actually just couldn't go all the way with the Bible College or whatever. So this kind of gives them a way to be a part of it. And then the ones that are, you know, in the Bible College, they get to really do the deep dives and stuff. So that's Monday and Thursdays at 1 o'clock. For the next 6 weeks, I may do more depending on the Lord, you know, how He leads me. But that is the set thing for the Bible College students. They'll be a part of those broadcasts, and they'll be, you know, doing reports and stuff from that. So that's very exciting. And then everything else is still the same. You know, we still do the Bible studies. I mean, the church on Sunday morning and the prayer calls Monday through Thursday. I think we've all found a good little happy medium here, to where I can still function and do all the things that I do. Now, Wednesdays, which is tomorrow, is still the Give Back Wednesdays. I would like for you guys to prepare an encouraging word, whether it's a testimony or some type of scripture or a poem you want to read or whatever. That will be for Wednesdays. So if you guys will go ahead and prepare that, and then we'll come back on Thursday and you know, be the last one for the week. Now, So I guess that's all for this week. We are expected to have storms coming in here tonight, so let's pray. Let's just go ahead and pray about it. Lord, we just pray that over our broadcasting tonight, Lord, that the storms will not interfere with the broadcasting that we need to do tonight. Lord, we all come together in agreement for all these Bible college students, Lord, that you will give them courage and that you will help them, you know, to be able to share their testimony and to be able to give you glory, Lord, tonight. And we thank you that this is their appointed time. Just like the other students, Lord, when it was their time, you know, to give you the glory. We thank you tonight, Lord, that these Bible college students are going to give you the glory for what you have done. And we thank you, Lord, that this is like an official historical document that's being written in the earth. You know, this, it is being scribed for other trees in the forest, other trees in the garden, to be blessed by their seeds that they're going to release tonight. So we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for giving them the courage, Lord, to be able to do this. Lord, we pray over this prayer call this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the word that's going to come forth. And we thank you for being with us and leading and guiding us into all the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so like I said, I will, since I just downloaded this new software, I will have that ready for you guys tomorrow. I just couldn't get it on the other one. It tried to download a malware, so we don't want no malware on this computer. So, let's go ahead and get started then in the Word. If everybody would turn in your Bible to John chapter 3, the book of John, and let me get this up on the website here. All right, let's see here. All right, John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher that has come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we need to understand this morning there's two kingdoms going on in the earth. There's only two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus spoke in parables, didn't he? Because the world does not understand. His people understand. Why? Because they're of a different kingdom. Remember the analogy that I told you of what happens to you when you get saved. You need to have this visual in your head. Because, and I'm going to do a visual on this Bible study today, so I'm going to go ahead and tell this. Just so it can be official and I can make a video of it. Okay, the Lord revealed this to me in a dream. Years ago, back in 2013, when I first started in my pit. Let's see, was it 2013? No, it was 2015. I had just finished writing my life story, and I was getting ready to write this book called Snookums and the Fruit of Love. And the Lord, this is how I got that book. Is that the Lord revealed to me in a dream that we're all in God's great garden. This earth is his garden. And all humans that are coming to the earth from heaven are coming through a matrix. That's what the Bible says. They're coming through a matrix. What is the matrix? Well, when a tree comes from heaven to be born into the garden, it is born out of a tree that contains a water sack. This water sack is like a protection barrier of that little plant. But when it is pushed and being forced through from one realm to the other, it is being pushed through a matrix. When it comes out in the earth, it's a tender, tender baby plant. Okay? Now, this little plant, when it's born in this so evil world, it has no choice where it's born. It has no choice what color it is, what tribe it is, what country it's born in, the timing it's born in, absolutely nothing. So, the little plant is affected by its environment, how the parent trees treat it, how the community treats it, the environment that it's in. Let me turn this off. What the world? The environment that it's in, the violence or the happiness or the joy or the music or whatever. It has no choice. So when it's born, it is shaped by the worldly influence. The influence of the society, the parents, the culture, the identity that it has. This is what the Bible college hones in on. So this little plant grows up according to the shape of its environment. Now, when the parent trees are Christians, and they're raising this little plant in the eyes of the Lord, this little plant will flourish a lot better. Because it has the flavoring of the garden of heaven, the other realm upon it. It's a little different than just a child born, a little plant that's born into violence with no hope. But even if that little plant is grown in the garden, that the parents are Christian mighty oaks, that plant still has to decide on its own if it wants God to be the ultimate gardener, if they want to come into the kingdom, into the supernatural garden, or do they want to stay in the old worldly garden where they're meshed up against the trees of the forest, where they're in oneness with the kingdom of this world. Do they want to detach and go into another kingdom that's going to cost them greatly because the old world, that old mesh of a forest that's all meshed together by their oneness and unity of their worldly carnal passions? Are they going to make fun of this little plant when it decides to separate, or even if it grows up and separates later? Is that forest going to make fun of it? Yes. Why? Because you're different now. You're in the light. We don't like you. You're a different plant now. You're not like us. So we're going to reject you. We don't want you messing with our utopia we have going on over here. Now, when this tree looks up to the official gardener and says, "Hey, I recognize that I'm sorry, I've got a lot of stuff going on in my nose." Said, "You, gardener, I really do recognize that you're my creator, and I recognize what you've done for me. So I really would like to give you my tree." That's what salvation is. You recognize Jesus is the Lamb, and He died on the cross as a Lamb for you. And this is where you become His bride. Just like we studied yesterday, how God is preparing the fine linens for the bride for her wedding day. And So when you decide to cross over, it is a conversion. I don't care what the Jews say, and they can get me for anti-Semitism for stating this, because it is a fact. Salvation to Jesus is a conversion. You are converting from sinner to saved, from hell to heaven, from black to white. That is Christianity, the real one. This New Age Jesus is a brown one. It compromises. It's half and half. Yin yang. But the real Christian, though, has to convert, has to cross over into salvation, into true Christianity. So once that plant does, and it makes up its mind that it's going to accept the destiny that God has for it, then the whole world of that plant is going to change. And if it does not change, it never met the Creator. Because once it meets the Creator, oh, they're going up on the potter's wheel. They're going to allow God to mold it and to shape it into this image that God has for that person, which is shaping it in His image. Okay? So the plant that crosses over into this new world is going to be transformed into the Lord's image. That's what being in Him is. And so the old ones, you know, they all will have a choice before they die. They all have a spirit. Every tree in the garden has a spirit given to it by God, is what the word says. That spirit spends the entire existence of that tree trying to woo it over to God. So that's why the soul, the one that's in the middle, has a choice at all times. Which side am I going to go on? Am I going to go with the world, which is familiar, the hive mind, the fun, it appears. The fun, the more accepted one, the more options that it has, than going over to this other one that is so rejected and different and hated by the world. And they're having to choose which way they're going to go. Now, the thing is, when the tree, the little plant, comes over to the Lord looks at that little plant and says, huh, I see now your little bumps and bruises you got while you was over on that other side. I see your trauma. I see how you got all this stuff attached to you, but I'm going to have to put you on the potter's wheel. And it's, you know, when I come around to those bumps, and you're feeling the pressure, you're going to have to let me continue, son and daughter, you know. And so God knows what it's going to take for this plant that come over to His side, the kingdom of this, of God. When it comes over the kingdom of God, it has to go through a process. This is where discipline comes in. This is where correction and rebuke and chastisement comes in. It is a good thing. Even when you cross over, for the rest of your entire existence will be that. There is no one that is above being corrected by God. I don't care if you've been going 50, 70 years. You're still His son and you're still His daughter. And you're still in a battle in this world till the day you die or till He comes and gets you. So that's why it doesn't bother me to let my congregation know. I mean, I'm being rebuked right now. I'm being chastised. I'm being whipped. It's good for you to know this, because you know we all have to stay on that potter's wheel. None of us are perfect and none of us have arrived. Amen. It keeps us humble because the Lord helps us to see our own self when we get off kilter. And this is what keeps our heart. Because if not, you'll end up doing like these people with Trump that have just their hearts are seared. That's the sad thing. They see him doing evil things and they allow it to happen because they're so seared. Their conscience is gone, you know, they're so devoted that they can't see straight. That's the worship of the image of the beast. They have this image of who he is that they will not let go, you know. But anyways, the point is, going back to the forest, is the ones that cross over to Jesus, see, he wants to prune them because he wants them to bear fruit for him in the kingdom. And he wants them to use that fruit to help others, not to eat their own fruit. And NAR, that's one thing that happens in NAR that I learned over the years, because I worked in their leadership all them years, remember? One thing I learned is they spoon feed the church. I'll give you a word, 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 word. They traveled all these, used to, see, they quit doing this ever since COVID started. But they used to do conferences. Each of them would do it in their own name, but they'd all be the same group traveling together. Now, they do it now, but it's all in the name of cancer and the Great Awakening farce, all about Trump. It's a whole different, it's not even a revival, or it's an awakening of the new age Jesus is coming forth. But the point is that they would have people come to this conference, spend thousands and thousands of dollars. Let me give you this word. And people would go and eat their own fruit. That's what I call eating your own fruit. God gives us fruits, words, and things like that to help others. Meaning, when you're out, okay, here's a good example. Remember I told you about New York when I was on the 2017 tour, and I was out about my father's business, and I was praying through the city and I was completely wore out. But he wanted me to minister to this man that just found out he got cancer. He was a lawyer, and he met me at 5 o'clock. And I told you that story and how I was stinking and looked terrible, you know, after it was 95 degrees and I'd walked all over the city that day and it stinks in New York, you know, so it was just terrible. So anyway, but when he met me, he was kind of off put by how I looked and how I smelled or whatever. But when we went to the restaurant, he took me out to eat at this very fancy restaurant. And when I got there, we was just kind of talking casual talk. But when I gave him my fruit, which was a prophetic word, when I gave him my fruit, it was like a sword come down on his head. It was like, bam, knocked him into reality real quick. Because then he knew that the real Lord was in the room. He was there and he was talking to him. So the facade and everything else that he come in with went right out the window. See, that's what it's for. Not for people to travel around and make me feel good, tell me stuff. I want a future telling. You know, it's not that. It's a deal when you're setting people free. For instance, now, don't get me wrong. I do know that we need it as a body to encourage one another and all that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the senselessly traveling just for that. Because another story is how the Lord would, whenever I was doing stuff, like say going to the doctor or whatever, the Lord would say, go right, go left, go down this road. You know, this is back when I was in my 20s. Which is another reason I fought him so hard, didn't want to give him all, because you never have control of yourself. You can never plan anything. So he would say, go to this house and I want you to give a word to this man. So I knock on the door. This big burly man comes to the door. He's like, yes. I said, sir, I said, I'm a minister, and I was headed to the doctor, and the Lord brought me here supernaturally, and he wants me to pray for you, sir. Do you mind if I pray for you? And he's like, yes, so come on in. I started praying for that man, and the word of God came. He fell to his knees, this big burly man. He fell to his knees weeping. Why? Because God showed him. I stopped time to come and tell you that when you was a little boy and this happened to you at this point in time is when you left me, you need to come back to me, son. I mean, God specifically talked to that man about God used to use me for that, where he would show me where the cutoff point was in their life that would separate them from God. And that is fruit. You know, that is fruit that will remain because you're really helping other people. You're just following the Lord and you're helping other people. You're not, in other words, what the NAR has done is they have caused these people to be what I call fat cats. You know, they travel and they're like, instead of them going out to nursing homes and prisons and places where people are desperate, you know, homeless people and all this, and giving their fruit away, where they go out there and they minister to people and they speak words like that, where it will bring repentance and salvation to people, you see? So, instead, they travel around these conferences and they want to be fed all the time. They want to be lifted up, puffed up. You know, give me a word, give me a word. Anyway, that's all stopped mostly now. And, you know, hopefully people will start, you know, going back to. My best friend told me yesterday that her mom has been in, if y'all would pray for her, you know, my best friend, Brenda, her mom has been in Vanderbilt Hospital. Yes, I have tried to go see her, in case you're thinking, did you go see her? I tried. But Vanderbilt Hospital for like 40-something days, and now she's going to go to a nursing home, and they're thinking she may have to go into hospice care, which means her time is coming to a close. She is a godly woman. She is ready to meet the Lord, which is a blessing. And she has suffered many years. And I know, like for all of us, you know, we want our parents to go on. Who wants them here suffering? I mean, really. You know, my mom, she died in 2017. And I'm so happy she's over there. It's like, hallelujah. You know, because we're all one step from being over there, one breath. And I'm going to see her again. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It's not that you're being morbid that you want your parents dead. It's like I'd rather you be there because you're being taken care of by Jesus right now. I'll be with you in a few, you know, because this world is horrible. I mean, horrible. I found out through another friend that these nursing homes, that the Orthodox Jews are buying them all. Now, what about that? All these people that, you know, have parents in nursing homes, now you're going to have the beast go in and buy all the nursing homes? What is going to happen to these parents? I mean, what kind of pickle does this put people in? You see what I mean? There's a lot going on right now. But the point that I'm trying to say about all this is, let's go back to the forest. Is the people that's in, you know, that are trees out here, they're either in the kingdom of God, which is another realm, which talks another language. This is why you need to speak in tongues. Because I could do a whole sermon on speaking in tongues with all my stories about it. Speaking in tongues is legit. It is a real thing. It is your heavenly language. And it is a very, very beautiful, holy thing. I remember when I first saw it. When I was raised Baptist and they always taught it was of the devil. And then I ended up demon possessed through a Ouija board after being on it for 18 months. And then I went to the Baptist church, who's the one that said all that was demons. Did you know they didn't even know what to do with me? They don't know a thing about spiritual warfare. They don't know what to do with demons. So they couldn't help me. It was the Pentecostal church, the Assembly of God, which was good back then, that had an elderly man in there that anointed me with oil and cast them out. And they left. He knew what to do. So when I started going to that church and I started seeing people speak in tongues, I asked him about it. Why do they talk like this? I said, I always heard this was of the devil. And he explained it to me. You know, about it. It's a language that God gives his people. You know, okay, all of us are studying the tabernacle, right? And in the tabernacle, you'll discover who the real Jesus is, okay? The whole gist of the tabernacle is that it is now us. We're the temple. We're the tabernacle. The Holy Spirit is in the Holy of Holies. The Bible says that when we speak in tongues, that we are giving our tongue, which is our most unruly member, we're giving it rights. We're superseding the beast. Because the Bible says that that tongue can steal, not steal, kill, and destroy, but it can slice and dice. It can bring life and death in the power of the tongue, does it not? When you give your tongue to the Holy Spirit to pray through your temple, the Bible says that your tongue is the rudder of the ship. So when you give your tongue over to the Holy Spirit, it says in the Bible that it prays the most holy will of God. You cannot get a prayer closer to the will of God than praying in tongues. Because your spirit man, which I told you yesterday about the dividing of the three parts of you, like the three parts of God, you have the spirit, the soul, and the body. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Okay? Your soul is your mind. What's your mind? It's what you think. It's the brain of the body. Okay? The will. The will is, if you think of Lucifer, who had his will and he chose his pride over God. You know, so he got a third of the angels to go with him. They got kicked out of heaven. The will. What are you going to choose? That's the will you're choosing, okay? Your emotions is a part of your soul. It's really, your emotions are basically your roots. Your roots with flowers on it is the best way to put emotions. Because you will see people that have anger roots. And let's say pressure gets to them and it just comes up out of their spirit and they just start cussing. It just gets so angry, you know. Whatever happens in this moment, that is what's coming out of roots. That's why when I pray for people, I immediately hit their roots. Lord, I pray. And sometimes when I'm praying with people prophetically, God will tell me, pray about their roots. Because if their roots are hard or clogged, or through bitterness and anger, you know, unforgiveness and all this, their roots would be hard as the rock. This is why the rivers of living water can't flow up in that tree, because you got them all clogged through a fence. So you have to forgive. And, you know, even if you say, well, I don't want to forgive. None of us want to, you know, in your carnal nature, because you want revenge. That's the carnal nature side of you. The way that you overcome as a Christian is your tongue. You take your will and you match it with heaven, and you come in agreement with heaven. So what you do is, even though your emotions, which is the flowers, right? Even though the emotions may not want you to forgive because they're too flared up there. But your mind says, I want to be in agreement with God. I'd rather please God. So you're making a will choice, right? Even though your roots are saying, no, 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 they hurt you to the bone. They hurt you to the core. These flowers are very much alive up here. So what you do by your will is you choose, making a choice out of your will, to come in agreement with heaven, to say out of your mouth, I forgive. Even though the emotions are still there, and the emotions are still angry, and your roots are still hard because you're so hurt over it, it's that choice of partnering with heaven and the will of God for that situation. So you say, I forgive. I choose to forgive. When we do that, God works on the roots. You just have to say, yes, I forgive. And let God do the healing from there. Let him do the work. It really does work like that. Because if people say, I can't forgive because I'm just so angry. You can forgive. You just have to say it. See, I have been with people, they cannot even move their tongue. They're so mad. Their tongue will not even release it because they're so angry. Their will not let it go. Their mind refuses to come in agreement with heaven. So this is what you have to do as a Christian. Immediately forgive, even though it hurts, even though the flowers are flaring. Even though your roots, you can feel them hardening up where you're so angry. You just have to say it with your mouth. I forgive. And ask God, give me grace to forgive. He knows we can't do it on our own. This is where the grace of God. The grace of God is where you cannot and he does. Okay? So, anyway, God wants to bring the rivers of living water from the heavenly realm up through your roots to cleanse your tree, to bring beautiful fruit forth with the Son of God, which is Jesus, shining on you like photosynthesis as you're receiving the rivers of living water from the bottom. The heavenly light, the sunshine, is shining on you and it's photosynthesis and producing fruit. And then you're able to produce much fruit. Okay? Now here's the deal. You have both of them on Judgment Day. Remember yesterday we talked about Judgment Day. We actually saw yesterday something I've never seen before. Is how the mountains and the earth reacted to God on Judgment Day. That was creepy. Where they moved out of the way and they ran from God on Judgment Day. That was creepy. That tells you how bad judgment's going to be to some people. They didn't even want to be around to see it, the earth. Anyway. So on Judgment Day, you're going to have two different types of people that stand before the throne. God's going to look at each tree. And here's what he's going to say. All right, tree number A. Did you bear fruit for me in my garden? No, I sure did not. I wanted to live my life. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I didn't want to have to surrender to your will. No, sir. No. I wanted to be attached to this old world because I wanted to live. I wanted my own free will. I did not want to surrender. You asked too much, sir. You just really did. I mean, you know, look at all them people out there I got to have fun with, Lord. I mean, it's just, and I saw your people over there, Lord, and how hard they had it. And even, you know, you just asked too much. So no. I didn't want to bear your fruit. So then God looks at that tree and says, you was a useless stick. You bear no fruit for me. You was a hollow tree. You was a dead tree walking. Thus, I have to cast you in the fire. You was useless. Well, then you have another tree comes up. And this tree, he says, did you bear fruit for me in my garden? Yes, sir, I did. And I pray that my life bears witness to it. And behind that tree is a whole bunch of other trees that bared fruit, bared the truth of the fruit of that tree. And so God says, well done, thy good and faithful tree. Come on over into my garden. Because in heaven, it's a beautiful, like Brock describes in his book, a beautiful, beautiful garden. So there it is. Heaven, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. So now let's go back to the word here. We're in John chapter 3. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Okay, let's talk about this. Born of the water. When a plant comes through the matrix, it comes out of a water sac, doesn't it? In the natural, a tree is born of water. But when the tree is now converted over to the kingdom of heaven, it now has to come through another water route, another water system, baptism. When a tree gets saved, you would think that everything would be perfect from that point forward, that, you know, all sins are forgiven, everything's going forward, no consequences from your past, everything. This is how some people preach. It's not true, though. When you get saved, you're still the same person. You're just saved, which means there was a decision that's made, and now you're in a whole nother realm, and now you're going to have to go through a process. You're going to have to be baptized, which is born of water. You are now baptized. You are coming out of the kingdom. It's a symbolism of coming out of the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of God. When you get baptized and come up, you're going to feel clean. That's what I've been baptized about 10 times. It can be more than once. If you backslide, you need to be baptized again and get all that washed off of you. Okay, so they're on Judgment Day, and you have the one that is bearing much fruit, and he has all of the witnesses behind him. He goes into the garden, and, you know, the eternity is there with the Lord. And when you read Brock's book, when it's called Heaven's Expression, every person has an expression that God wants it to express. Every matter in the earth has an expression of God. See, us bearing fruit for God is expressing the glory that God has on the inside of us. You know, it's so sad when people die, and I've seen this over the years in ministry.
When people die and never understood their purpose, never understood it, never lived their full destiny that they were meant to be. They were like just a dry tree dying. But every tree that comes has a destiny. Every tree has a destiny. But they choose to do what with that tree. Remember what I told you, people sin based on their lust. You know, and so God wants everyone to be upon that wheel so that he can cause it to bear fruit. And the only way that you can bear fruit is the process. Because if you just come out and like people, you know, that want to go into full-time ministry without going through a process, they're in trouble. Because you're going to be eaten alive. The spiritual warfare that is required that will hit you once you get into leadership in the kingdom, it's a very real spiritual leadership. I mean, spiritual battle. And if you haven't been pruned, if you haven't been up on that wheel, if you have not been had a lot of them knots taken out and a lot of healing of those roots will come to the surface. So, you know, that's why God, you know, puts people in the pit, basically, so that they can allow him. And sometimes, I know there's a lady on the call right now. Let me see if she's still on here. She is. Okay. That has been where I've been, where she has been in just a prayer closet for a year. It's a lonely place as far as, you know, why am I just stuck here just praying for a year? It seems that way. But God has you in all of these processes as he's taking you to the destiny that he has for you. But you have to go through the process. Some people want to go from A to Z and skip all the process of B through there. But it doesn't work that way in real leadership. It does not. You have to go through the testing. There's a testing time where God is. It's like I always kind of equated it to a video game. You know, I used to love playing video games when I was younger. I was raised on Atari. How many remembers Atari and Intellivision? That sounds so funny now. But I remember Intellivision, and I'll never forget the Christmas that we snuck up under the parents' big old television we had in the living room, one of them big remember them big console TVs that had the speaker, and you even had a little you know, your little album player in there, one of those big consoles. Y'all remember that? All of you are older, so I know you know what I'm talking about. But we moved that thing one year before Christmas, about 2 weeks before Christmas, because we had to clean. That's how my mama cleaned. We moved furniture, and we vacuumed under furniture, so I was moving the TV to clean in there. And lo and behold, there was the Intellivision. So that's back when I was a teenager. So I went and told my brothers and sisters, oh, man, look, they've already got the Intellivision hooked up to the TV, ready for Christmas. We played that thing all the time, so we made a little pact with one another. We're going to act on Christmas Day like we have not seen it, so we all have to act surprised. Deal. Okay, Christmas comes around, and they roll it out from under the TV. We tried so hard to act excited. But even back then, I couldn't lie. I got busted. And they said, you've already seen it, haven't you? So we got in trouble and got it pulled away from them. For 2 weeks, we couldn't play that game. That was in television. INTELLIVISION. In television. It's telling you a vision. But anyway. So I used to like watching video games. Well, when you're playing a video game like the old Atari, remember Pac-Man? Oh, man. We used to play Pac-Man like there was no tomorrow. You know, it's this little character, you know, that's crunching all. We know now it's crunching data, but look how they did it back then. But, you know, we'd chase around this little ball and try to eat these little balls, you know. Well, every level would take you to another level. Once you pass one level, you get to the other level. So that is how it is in ministry when you're going through the process. You will not get to the next level till you pass the level you're on. God has to test you, purify you, try you, to get you to see. And I'll give you an example. Okay, when I went to Washington, D.C., my rent was $1,750 a month. It was like $1 million because I had no money. But God worked it out to where I moved into this beautiful apartment building, and I was able to get all my stuff up from Tennessee, because I thought I was going to serve President Trump until the cow would come home, you know. So I was ready to move there with all my stuff and start a new life in D.C. I was going to help him win the 2020 campaign and everything. But anyway, so while I was there, I had to have $1,750 a month for rent. So my first time that rent was due, $0 the day it was due, zero. I had $5 bills in my pocket, and I was going to go to McDonald's to get something to eat. So after I had obeyed the Lord, because they made me the captain of the U.S. Capitol, and I would pray around the House buildings, the Senate buildings, the Capitol, and do whatever God told me to do. It'd be crazy stuff he had me do every day. And so one day I was leaving on this particular day, and I was walking next, I was headed towards the you know, the tube, which is the train that runs underground, okay? Most of it, some of it's above ground, but most of it's underground in D.C. And so I had to walk by the Republican Country Club, which was next to their Republican offices. And I thought it was weird because I tried to get an interview with the Republicans while I was there, and you can't get in, man. It is the weirdest thing. Even when I went to the Republican, and here I was Republican since I was 16, I finally got in and went to their front desk. I said, I'd like to interview your public relations manager. No, ma'am. I'm like, what the world, man? It's like Fort Knox. But anyway, so you had to walk by this country club, which I was in there all the time. Because that's where all the power team stuff's going down, where you have meet everybody and talk to them and whatnot. And so I was walking by there, and there was a homeless man on the ground with a hat, and he held his hat out, and he was telling everybody, please help, I'm homeless. So I was noticing how the congressmen and different people would treat him as I was approaching him, and how they all ignored him. And nobody paid him any attention, so I thought, I'll give him $1. I'll at least give him $1, and that'd give me $4 to eat at McDonald's. So I walk up to him, I said, here you go, sir, because I'm sitting there thinking, you know, what a good person I am. You know, I at least see him, and I acknowledge that he's homeless, and I'm giving him a whole dollar. So he's like, thank you, man. So I walk on, and I'm going down the escalator to go into the tube. The Lord speaks to me, he goes, why didn't you give that money, that man, all your money? And I dropped my head because I knew I was being disciplined. I said, I turned the truth, because I wanted to go to McDonald's. I needed that $4. And he said, go back and give that man all your money. I said, yes, sir. So I knew God had exposed my selfish heart. So I go back up the escalator. I walk up there to that man. And I said, sir, I got to repent to you. I said, I was in the escalator, and I was going to the tube, and the Lord spoke to me, and he rebuked me for not giving you all of my money. So here, sir, this is all my money. And he started crying. And he stood up, and he said, ma'am, will you pray for me, please? Because he knew that I was for real. So I said, yes, sir, I will. And when I was praying for him, I felt, I told you guys how the Lord does me with the sun. It's hard to explain the sun, the moon, and all this stuff. But anyways, when I was praying for him, the sun was shining on my face like I had all God's attention. It was so beautiful. I just felt the presence of the Lord all over me, just me and that homeless man with all the hundreds of people walking by. It's like they didn't even exist. It was me and this homeless man and Jesus out there. And I was talking to the Lord about this man. Lord, please help this man. Yada, yada. So I finished praying. I go back in the tube, and I'm like, woo-hoo! Oh, I feel so good to obey the Lord, man. I don't care if I have another dime. I'm just so happy that I obeyed. Oh, it feels so good to obey him. Yes, it does. It's like fine wine. Yes, it is. Of course, I don't drink wine, but I'm just telling you. It's an analogy. Anywho. So I'm in the train, and I'm, like, feeling so good. I mean, my heart is just full. I am like, thank you, Lord. I am so glad that I obeyed you, Lord. And I'm glad I repented because it all was all worth it. So I get out of the tube, and I come up out of ground, and I get a phone call. And this woman says, ma'am, do you have your rent paid yet? I'm like, no, ma'am. She goes, how much is it? I said, $1,750. I didn't even know this woman. And she goes, well, the Lord told me to pay your rent, so give me the phone number to your office, please. I gave her the phone number. She called and paid the rent. See, I was tested. And the Lord told me, see, you gave that man $5, and I turned around and gave you $1,750. So the next month rolls around. Zero money for rent. Zero. And this woman calls me and says, hey, I want you to house this woman and her disabled daughter tonight, please. Because they knew I had an extra bedroom for profits. I always do. And she said, you know, they're in town. They need a place to stay. I said, no. I had worked at the White House that day. President Trump was doing something at 7 o'clock that morning, and I worked till 7. It was like a 12-hour, you know, Trump will keep you going, man. I'm telling you, it's a job being his correspondent. But anyway, I was like, no way, I'm too tired. I'm ready to hit the sack. But this is how God always tests you when you're at the end of yourself. So she said, well, you got to eat, so at least meet us for dinner. I said, all right. So I met him for dinner. We're sitting outside. It was a beautiful summer night. And all of a sudden, a storm came on the horizon. And I'm looking at this little girl who's in a wheelchair. She looks like she's about 9 years old. Y'all know I used to drive a wheelchair bus in Nashville for 3 years. So I know all about kids and wheelchairs and sickness, and I know a lot of stuff about all that. That is really terrible stuff about how parents do kids in wheelchairs. But anyway, so I'm sitting there looking at this kid, you know, over there in the wheelchair, and the Lord speaks to me. He said, whose apartment is that? And I knew he busted my heart again. I got in trouble again. I said, Lord, it's yours. He said, then you let them stay there tonight. I said, yes, sir. So I looked at that woman across the table from me. I said, ma'am, I said, the Lord just spoke to me and said that y'all are to stay with me tonight. Do y'all mind coming to my house after we leave here? And she goes, oh, thank you, thank you. So I lived in this high tower, what I call high tower building. You know, it's about 10 minutes from the White House, pretty cool, in a city called Alexandria, Virginia. There you go, Kimberly. There's my Alexandria, Virginia. That's where Kimberly was born. But anyway, so when we got back to the apartment, she got the kid up there, but she could not park it because in this high tower building, you have to give notice at 5 o'clock in the morning if you need an extra parking spot. And there in D.C., I'm telling y'all something, there is nowhere to park. You have to pay $20 a day. At least that's what I had to pay back then for parking. $20 a day across from the White House at this parking garage. And God always funded it, too. That's what's so amazing, because I would spend $100 or $150 a week just in parking. But that's how you have to roll, you know, type of deal. But anyway, so they had to leave. They never got to stay. But at least I obeyed the Lord. He tested me, see, to see if I would let them stay, even if they couldn't, if I would just say yes to him and obey him. The next day, somebody called and paid it. All right, so that's what I mean about testing. The Lord's going to test you. And don't think he won't. If you're going to be used in ministry, he is going to test you, and he's going to see, you know, how you're going to react in this situation type of deal. Okay, so let's go back to the word here. Now, we was talking about the kingdom of God, about being born of the water, so you have to get baptized. Being born of the Spirit. Now, there, I know there's different, you know, because my doctorate degree is in theology. There's different theories of what this means when it says born of the Spirit. Of course, I believe it's when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. You are filled with the Spirit. You know, born of the water, baptism, and born of the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So some people think that you have to speak in tongues to get into heaven. I'm not really convinced of that. I believe this could also be interpreted as when you get saved, you're born of the Spirit. That's probably more of what it is, because you're, you know, receiving his Spirit. You become one with him. You come over into the kingdom of God. But I do believe you should be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues type of deal. Okay, let's go to verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. See, there you go. There's your body and your spirit, being filled with the Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Okay, so it is salvation. It's not speaking in tongues. That settled that. It is salvation because when it says right here, born of the Spirit is Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for clarifying. So it is not speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a gift, okay? Born of the Spirit means you got saved. You chose to be born again. When you get saved, it's almost like you're born. That is, go back to your birth date, the day you got saved. Born again. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. See, a lot of people, they don't know they're saved. They don't really have a marker of a time when they said, and they know that their heart committed. So this is what I tell them, and it may be somebody listening now or somebody listening in the future. We're going to take care of that right now while we're talking about this, because you have to be born again, which is a conscious decision of your will Remember your mind, your will, and your emotions. Okay? You're making the decision to cross over into the kingdom of God and to accept the Lamb and what He has done for you. Maybe even before, you never even understood to the depth of what it really is like you do now. Maybe now, even at your older years, you're realizing, wow, that's really what salvation is. I want to get born again. Maybe now you realize, I do want that. I want that real, for real salvation experience. So we're going to take care of that. You need to know why. In verse 8, it says, the wind blows where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes. And where it goes, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. When you're born of the Spirit, you're in a whole nother world. You cannot see it. It's a world supernatural. You're in a supernatural realm. It's really, the Chronicles of Narnia, I think, really gives a good visual to this. Although we know it's kind of crooked or whatever, but it really gives a good visual of walking in the closet, like the closet of prayer. And then you become born again. You're stepping into a new realm. Your new realm is the kingdom of God. You're born of the Spirit. Now you are over here. You're in the Spirit. You're, you know, people see you here, but really you're over there. You're born of the Spirit. You're saved. You belong to God. You are now full of the light. You are now full of God once you get saved. Once you are born again, you're going through another matrix. Remember we talked about when you're born in the earth, you're coming through a matrix, through a sack, and then you're being born into the kingdom of this world. Until that tree, I don't care how good the parents are. I don't care what a Christian family they are. That child, even though they say, I've always been saved, I've heard people say this, I've always been saved because I was raised in a Christian family. Until you decide yourself, you need to make that choice. And if you can't remember when you did, start all over. Just do it again. Because you need to be born of the Spirit. Okay, so let's all take care of that right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray first. And I'm going to talk to the Lord a minute. And then we're going to say a prayer together. And then on this prayer, this is where you will repeat after me, and then you will follow into being born in the Spirit. Okay, so here we go. Lord, I thank you so much in your word this morning that in John chapter 3, you're talking to the Lord, and you're explaining to us what real salvation is. It is stepping into another realm, the kingdom of God, making a conscious decision by our will to be born again of the Spirit. So, Lord, there's people listening that may not know that they ever did this. So, Lord, I'm asking that as we take this time to come in agreement with heaven and to declare with our mouth that we choose you, Lord, that you will bear witness with their spirit today, that they would be born again before the kingdom of God with the witness of the great cloud of witnesses like you showed me in Washington, D.C. in 2017 in front of the White House, the great cloud of witnesses and the host of heaven. The angels rejoice when somebody gets saved. So, Y'all just repeat after me. Say, on this day, and then say the day, March the 4th, or 5th, 2025, I am choosing, by an act of my will, to give my tree to the great gardener. I give you my heart, Lord. I recognize you as the lamb that was slain for me. Lord, please forgive me for all my sins. Show me your ways, Lord. I give you permission to put me on the potter's wheel and to reshape my pottery in the manner of your image. I choose to walk into the kingdom of God as you save me, deliver me, and set me free, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So congratulations, heaven is rejoicing. You are born again in the Spirit. All it takes is you coming in agreement and asking God to forgive you and accepting that He is the Lamb that was slain. See, that's the key. Because this New Age Jesus is being erected out here. This New Age Jesus has another Jesus going on. This Jesus that they're erecting out here is an ecumenical, vomitous, partnering with Lucifer type of Jesus. That's not the real Jesus. The real Jesus is repentance. The real Jesus is relationship in the garden. The real Jesus is being separate and called out, chosen. The real Jesus is hearing His voice, hearing His analogies that other people cannot understand, and it's not meant for them to understand. So let's finish reading this one more time. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Bible says you can't get saved anyway unless the Spirit draws you. So if you got saved, the Spirit drew you. So there you go. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it list, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said, are you a master of Israel and knows not these things? Verily I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man has ascended up into heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Bam! This is key right here, because we're all studying Moses right now. We are in Moses mode. Even if you're not in the Bible college and you're following the Bible studies that we're doing on YouTube, we're all about Moses right now. And that's what Jesus, these writings that are in red, is Jesus talking. He's saying, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why is that? Because when God told Moses to lift up that rod, it's not that the rod was special. It was the obedience that was special. It was the Moses coming in agreement with heaven when heaven asked him, lift up the rod and I'll part the sea. Jesus is saying to us, just as Moses obeyed, you obey. What is God telling us to do? Say the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. He says in his word, lift up the name of Jesus and I'll draw all men unto you. Right? That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Come on now. This is eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that beautiful? For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's something about that name. There's something about that name. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. See, I believe that in this end time scenario, with the beast agenda, when they're trying to get everybody to leave that name of Jesus and go back to Yeshua HaMashiach and all this other names, Yah and all this, all that's doing is hanging Jesus on the cross again. It is a smack in Jesus' face. And all these people that are doing that are the ones involved in the Hebrew roots, going back to all of that law. It's so sad because it's all the beast agenda, the Noahide laws, to get them to leave that name. There's power. Power, wonder-working power, in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power, in the precious blood of the Lamb. That Jesus, that name is what they hate with the everlasting passion. That's why we have seen over the years, they do not want you mentioning the name of Jesus. This I posted that video yesterday that played at 8 o'clock last night of that drug addict. I found it. It was an interview I did back in 2018 or 17. I found that video that's almost 10 years old. Where she said that she went to hell and cried out the name of Jesus and the Lord pulled her out. You know, before she died, her body was already there, but her soul was already there, but her body wasn't there yet. You know, her body hadn't fell over and died yet. That's happened to many people. You can believe it or not, but it has. And then I told you, you know, y'all heard Jesse. He said about how the demons reacted to the name of Jesus. They know it. And then, what about, what is it? Oh, Shalom Girl. What about her? when she said that, when she was talking about Elon when he was a kid, how he used to play with those demons all the time. And she walked in the room, and there was he had made a portal out of these rocks in a circle or whatever. And he was being sucked down in the portal to go play with him. And she grabbed him to pull him out. Remember that story? It's creepy, but it's her testimony. She went to pull him out. He was being sucked down into hell. She went with him. But when she got in there, she cried out to the name of Jesus, and the Lord pulled her out. That's that name. So these people that are pulling them all in other directions are just, they're pulling them away from that power. There's no name under heaven which all will bow but the name of Jesus. Okay, now, let's go to 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. This is that kingdom of the world, see. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Amen. Boy, could I tell you stories on that. Yes, yes, yes. Remember Dennis telling you the story of how he was praying for that woman in the hospital? And he kept saying, Lord, fill her with your light. She was like on her deathbed, man. He was like, fill her with your light, Lord, fill her with your light. He kept saying, fill her with your light, fill her with your... And the, all the machines were going off, reacting to his prayer. And it was all about the light, because darkness had filled her and was trying to kill her. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. Let's go back up here. Verse 20 again. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Why? Because you will be exposed. The light will expose it. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Remember what I told you. When the fiber for the cyber comes to your house and they're exposing you for all the stuff they have on you in data and embellish it or whatever they're going to do, remember what I said. Use this opportunity to go before the Lord and say, Lord, you see what the accuser of the brethren is accusing me of. So I'm asking you, Lord, is it true? Because remember, bride, you make excuses in your head why you do things, but the world may not see it that way. Like, say you're separated from your husband for 2 years and he still hadn't divorced you. And you meet this man and want a bit of relationship, and you say, well, we've been separated for 2 years, I can do this. Knowing honestly and truthfully you cannot, because you are technically still married. So thus, you are committing adultery, okay? So you make that excuse, you go ahead and do it. Okay, so now years later, and let's say you're getting exposed, and they're plastering it out there, you as a married woman, but yet you're cheating with this man. Nobody out there is going to care that there was a 2-year time period, and he may even be living with another woman, got kids by this woman, and got all this going on, but you still have that legal document. Thus, you're still married. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? You're not going to have time to go on global television and say, okay, let me tell you guys why I did that, all right? This is what happened. The man left me 2 years ago. He left me for another. You're not even going to have a chance to explain it. You're going to be out there on a stick. All you have to do is just know that once that time comes to your house, it ain't about you anymore. You have to go in that cocoon. You have to go in that dome. You have to say, like I did when I did that video and I showed you guys how the Lord had to give me grace to finish that Olympic line, remember? Yeah, and when I walked in the White House, I couldn't have done that if it wasn't for the Lord giving me the grace to go through it. You have to ask the Lord for that. Lord, I cannot go through this persecution. I have to be wrapped in your presence. I have to have you around me. This is beyond myself, you know, type of deal. But the point is that you're not going to have a chance to explain why you did something, you know. It's going to be what it is. And you're just going to have to, you know, face the consequences. But make sure, y'all hear me good on this. Don't just dismiss what is being accused to you. Don't admit it, of course, but don't, I'm talking to you like an attorney. I did want to be an attorney, by the way. If I had lived another life, I would have been an attorney for sure. But don't admit it. But go to your prayer closet alone where you know the beast ain't around, and you talk to the Lord. And you ask the Lord, Lord, did I do that? And let him tell you. Because remember what I told you about when I was in Bible college and Pastor Parsley tried to get me up there on the platform and I wouldn't do it because I had an ugly dress on. Remember that story? I had a reason why I did that, right? I mean, all women understand when you look ugly, you just don't do it. So years later, when I'm in the prayer closet, that was no excuse before him. It was no excuse. You refuse to give me glory just because you is fat. You refuse to give me glory just because your dress is ugly. It's no excuse to me. It ain't about you. So when you get before the Lord, you ask him. And the Lord revealed to me my sin. I didn't know I had sinned. But he revealed it. And once he revealed what I had done in my thinking, my reasoning, then I repented. And that's what judgment is for. It's for you to examine your heart. Not to quickly dismiss it, but to examine. And you go before the Lord and you say, okay, Lord, they said I did this, so I'm asking you to show me if I did. And then if he does, now this is the key. If he shows you where you have sinned, this is where your response could be heaven or hell right here. Because your response to your King and your Savior and your Creator is, if he comes back to you and he says, yes, you did that, then immediately repent. Confess it and repent. Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't even realize I did that. Please forgive me. Nip it in the bud with your King. Because what they say out here, I don't give a flying slip. It don't matter what they, this is only your body. This thing is only here for a temporary anyway. This, you and y'all's opinions, all you trends of people out here, your opinions of me does not matter. What matters to me is on my face what my King has to say about this. And so if he tells me I did this, I am repenting. Because here's the deal. If he shows you you did it and you are stiff-necked and hard-hearted and refuse to repent because you still think that you're smarter than God, because now your pride has been revealed before the King, that is what will send you to hell. Oh, no. You quickly confess. God already knows it. You only gave an avenue to the enemy to accuse you by an open door. When you sin, that gives open doors. So when he accuses you, the accuser of the brethren, You know, this woman the other day, she was so mean to me on YouTube. Oh, man, she gave me a down the road because I asked for a donation. She gave me a down the, I mean, stop your whining, yada, yada, yada. Oh, that woman, me and her got into it all day. We were going back and forth. I told that woman, you know, like I told you guys, I was like, woman, do you have a job? Do you volunteer everywhere, anywhere? You know, what do you do with your time? I want to know, if you're going to judge me when I'm asking for help, when I'm giving y'all 40 to 60 hours a week of my time, you know, I want to know, what are you doing with your time? She almost refused to tell me. This is funny. Okay, so y'all get the point of that. You know, when your time comes, just be honest before God and let him do a great healing, because it is coming so that you can be healed on this side of glory. Because it's either you deal with it now over here while you're still alive and still have breath, or you will deal with it over there, which is hell and heaven. It's that black and white. I mean, it's... So let's continue in the word here. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptized in Anon, near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom you bear witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it be given him from heaven. All right, now. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. In other words, he's a friend of the bridegroom. He must increase, but I must decrease. Amen, huh? He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man receives his testimony. Uh-oh. In the Word, time and time again, it talks about testimonies. See, your testimony is the power of Jesus. That's why it's so important for you to give your testimony. For you to share your testimony. Not be ashamed of your testimony. Because it is a prophetic look into who Jesus is. Remember tonight when they all share their testimony, there's only four or five of them. But when they share their testimony, they're in an elevator. The scenario is they're in an elevator with a man that's dying. So they're all going to die in 10 minutes. So they have to tell this man, sir, I'm going to tell you who I was before I met Jesus. That's the first 3 minutes. Then the next 3 minutes is how I met Jesus and how he changed my life. So now you got 6 minutes with this man, okay? So you need to tell him how you got saved and how Jesus, who Jesus really is in your life, and then you lead him to the Lord. He needs to know that Jesus, the real one. All right, let's go back here. He that receives his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. Isn't that amazing? For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him, which means Jesus has all of God. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Boy, that'll preach. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That will preach as well. The wrath of God abides on him that does not believe in Jesus. This is where all them preachers, boy, I feel sorry for them. Oh, they're going to have to answer to God about preaching a dual covenant. What NAR does, where they tell these Jews, you don't have to get saved. You don't have to convert. You don't have to become a Christian. You know, it's a very dangerous place they're walking in. Because you have to convert. There's no other way around it. You have to let Jesus know that he is, that you'd accept his dowry, that he paid for you, that he died on the cross for your sins. He was the perfect lamb. Once you accept that, then you're crossing over into another realm, the kingdom of God. Amen. So let's all pray. All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for our time we've had together this morning. Lord, I thank you that you're showing us who you really are and what it really means when we get saved. What is the kingdom of God? And what does it mean to obtain it? I thank you that you helped us this morning to know, because the world wants everybody to come back over to the hive mind. It wants everybody to come over into this worldly kingdom so that they can become like Lucifer and look like Lucifer. But Lord, you're calling your people today, just like you did yesterday, Lord, when you let us know that you are preparing for us like Esther, that beautiful, beautiful dress. And you are preparing us, Lord, like fine wine. You are preparing us. And so, Lord, I just thank you that for all the souls today that got saved for real, committed themselves to you, Lord, we celebrate this today. Lord, bless them in every way. Open their ears that they may hear what the Spirit is saying unto them. And I just thank you and give you praise for all you did today in the hearts of men. In Jesus' name, amen. You're welcome, Miss Carla. She goes, thank you for forcing me to testify. She's one of them. Good job, sis. Good job. Yes, so your world changed when you began speaking in tongues. Yeah, it does. It really does change. Yes, Miss Kimberly, Old Town Virginia is beautiful. Yes, it is. Amen.